Well, you and I have a problem. It's not the snow outside, although that could be a little bit of a problem, I suppose. And we've been talking about it some over the last 3 weeks. And the problem, really the entire world has this problem, and the problem is called sin. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how sin came into the world through Satan's temptation and Adam and Eve's choice of falling into that temptation. And I was drawn to a scripture sometime later after that, Genesis 6, where it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." Now, this is a description of mankind back during the days of the flood. But I think it could be an apt description for today as well. Our inclinations have not changed. We are inclined towards disobedience, towards evil. The whole world has suffered and is suffering from the effects of sin and its consequences. And it says in this scripture that God was deeply troubled. And it stands to reason that as we look at our world, a lot of times we are also deeply troubled by what we see. But last week we talked about the fact that God has a plan. God has a plan that is unfolding over thousands of years and hundreds of generations, a plan that he's working out. Well, what is that plan? Well, a couple thoughts. Is it to wipe out the bad people and keep the good? Well, he kind of did that with the flood, right? Wiped out all the people almost, except for Noah and his family. And what happened after the flood? Same kind of things happened, didn't they? Continued on. So sometimes we feel that way, I think. Sometimes we feel like, you know what, if we could just wipe out the bad people and keep the good people, we would be in good shape. The problem is, you and I are still here. And we're sinful people. And that sin will continue through us. Our sin could not be eradicated simply by expunging the bad and keeping the good. There would not be a single person left if that was the solution. So no, this is not really a solution to the problem. Well, we could provide a list of rules for us to follow. Well, God kind of did that with the law. And how successful were the Jews in following that law? Well, not so much. It simply revealed the depths of their sin and our sin. For wherever there is law, our inclination is to break it or to pervert it. We simply cannot clean ourselves up. We can't make ourselves right. We can't fix this problem of sin ourselves. So what is the plan? What is the plan? The plan is redemption. It is impossible for us to make ourselves right with a perfect and holy God. We are dead in the water. Or as the Bible says, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We simply can't get there. And so, this time of year, we celebrate the fact that God came to us. And we've already sung some songs about that this morning. God came to us. We could not get to Him. We could not solve the problem ourselves. God came to us. It makes me think, this is kind of a simplistic illustration, but it came to mind this week. Naomi called me, and she was stuck over at the place where she works with her car would not start. And so here's Naomi. She needs to go to her job. She just started a new job, and so she was already somewhat late. But she really had no options. She couldn't get the car to start. She couldn't get there by herself. She had to reach out to somebody else in order to help her with this problem. And I didn't really help her with it because I couldn't figure it out either. I prayed. I went over there and we tried to jump it. It didn't seem to be a battery problem. And so after about 10 or 15 minutes, I was trying to figure out what to do. I said, well, why don't you just take our van? And then she got back in it and it started right up. So I believe God solved that problem for us as well. But it's kind of the idea of thinking, you know what, we're in problems that we can't fix ourselves. And this problem of sin, we cannot fix ourselves. So God came to us. Only God could make things right. God's plan was to make a provision, a way for us where there was no way. Truth in a world of lies, life in the midst of chaos and death, and to provide freedom from sin. And so God came to us. And how did he come? Well, you know how he came. He came as a baby. As God promised, through the offspring of the woman, through Abraham, all peoples of the world would be blessed. We've been talking about this. One of the lineage of David who would rule forever. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Now we call it the incarnation, a big word that I wonder if we really can get our hands around what that word is. This mysterious, mind-blowing event where God, where the God of the universe, takes on flesh and enters our chaotic, fractured world as a human like you and I. And all this comes to pass through a young, obscure woman called Mary and her fiancé, Joseph. When Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, an angel appears to him and reassures him that this is part of God's plan. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus will save his people from their sins. Did you catch that? We've been talking a lot about sin and the problem of sin, the consequences of sin, the fact that we are really hopeless in this situation to do anything about it ourselves. But here we have someone who will save his people from their sins. The provision is Jesus. Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us. Now, why did he come this way? And this time of year and studying this, I just had to think a lot. Why did Jesus come this way? Why did God come this way to us? Born to a peasant instead of a king. Born in Bethlehem instead of someplace like Jerusalem. Born in a stable instead of a palace. Why would God come this way? Announced by shepherds as a baby, as shepherds, not by heralds or rulers or kings. Seemingly defenseless as a baby surrounded by animals and not by bodyguards, as you might think somebody of royalty would be. And we see even before he was 2 years old, his life is threatened. And being warned by an angel, Joseph gets up in the night and takes his young family to Egypt as Herod comes and kills all of the young boys in Bethlehem. And as the plan continues, Jesus and his family, they return back to Israel. But where do they return to? Jerusalem? No. They return to Nazareth in Galilee, of which it is said, can anything good come from Nazareth? It was that kind of place, that Jesus returned to. He lived in obscurity for 30 years. Think about it. Nobody knew who he was except a few people that God revealed himself to. He lived in obscurity. No media attention, no chatter of what he would accomplish. No one knew who he was, that he was the Son of God. And then during his ministry, instead of riches and a place of authority, a place of recognition, he was a nomad, a man without a home, and with essentially no possessions whatsoever to call his own. He did not surround himself with influential people, but he spent his time with who? The sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the demon-possessed, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. His closest friends and confidants were made up of fishermen, a former tax collector, and I don't even know what the other guys used to do for a living. They're obscure in Scripture. We don't know for sure. Not a real influential or elite group to hang out with. He was opposed and he was criticized by the religious leaders, the ones who were supposedly in the know. He was misunderstood by even those who were closest to him, those that were closest to him. And we know in those last days that he was beaten and bruised, he was spat upon, he was reviled, he was ridiculed and humiliated, he was jeered and tormented, and he was hung naked on the cross to die. Why would God come this way? John chapter 1. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This was the plan. Why? Well, I don't know all of the reasons why it happened this way, but I know of several. The first one I think of is that he came to identify with us. And Andrew talks about this in the Connection article about the incarnation. I encourage you to read that. But he came to identify with us, to experience this messed up, fallen world as a human like you and I. He knows, and don't ever believe that he doesn't know and understand. He has experienced all that we experience. He has walked in our shoes. He knows the joy, and he knows the pain and the agony and the suffering that life can bring. He also came to reveal himself to us, to destroy our misconceptions of who God is. When we look at Jesus and his life, we know who God is and how he would respond. No longer is God somebody out there, a spirit that we have difficulty in relating to. But here is God in flesh and blood, to see, to talk to face, to observe, to be friends with, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus that we talked about earlier. He came as a servant, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He left his place in glory and came humbly as a lamb. John the Baptist declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He came as a lamb. Now, sin is a terrible thing, and its consequences are severe. We were lost and without hope, but God in his great love came to earth through his Son Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, and took on the sin of the whole world. He carried it on the cross. He made a provision for us, a way when we had no way. Do we understand that? And then the rest of the following verses here, 1 John. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Did you hear that? Born of God, children of God. To all who truly believe in Jesus as the Son of God, he gave the right to become children of God. You know that relationship that was destroyed way back in the garden? It's restored through what Jesus did on the cross. That relationship is restored once again, and we can be children of God. The problem of sin, I wish I would have thought of it, but we should put a big X across that slide. Probably tired of seeing that big sin on the slide. Now there's a big X across it. The consequences of sin, destroyed. For those who truly believe in Jesus as the Son of God, our Savior and Lord, we have a present and future hope. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we are presently being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ himself. And in the future, we have the promise of eternal life in the physical presence of Jesus, where there will be no effects of sin whatsoever. This is what God came to do. This was the plan of redemption. And so in closing, the question I have for us is, so what now? As children of God, what do we do? What is the plan now? Is the plan just done? That was it? Well, I have one final observation of why God came the way he did. And remember all the things that we talked about how he came. He came this way, I believe, partly to show us how we should live in a fallen world. How you and I should live in a fallen world. We are children of God. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We represent him in this world. It is part of the plan. Much of the world does not know or understand the problem or the plan or the provision. So this plan continues through you and I as children of God. Every single one of us here has a part to play in that plan. And I wonder, do you know what your part is in this plan that God is working out, in this plan of redemption? We are also sent into a chaotic, painful world ravaged by sin. We are not called as children of God to isolate ourselves in an ivory tower somewhere. We are called to roll up our sleeves and be in the world just as Jesus was in the world. We are not called to condemn the world and be their moral police, but we are called to be, like Jesus, a servant, and to love the world just as he did. As I heard someone say recently, we are not called to be safe in safe places, but we are called to enter into the chaos, the danger, the pain that people are experiencing in this world, just as Jesus did. He sends us into this broken world so that, like it says in Philippians, that we might shine like stars in a crooked and depraved generation as we hold out the word of life. We are to bring the light into the world. And yes, we will experience the consequences of a fallen world just as Jesus did. If we embrace our calling and immerse ourselves in the chaos and pain, we will suffer. We will be hurt by people. We will be rejected. We will be despised by some. But it's not about us, is it? We have to remember that. What does Jesus call us to do? He calls us to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. To follow what he did. As he came into the world, so we are in the world, and we are to function like he did in the world. We will experience the effects of this fallen world just like everyone else. cancer, accidents, war, fighting, crime. All of the things that are the results of a fallen world because of sin. But we will shine in that darkness. And we will show the world that even though we walk through the shadow of death, that we will fear no evil, for God is with us. It makes me think of some of the difficulties that some of you have experienced and how you have shown a light in those circumstances. That's how it works. You wonder, why do I have to go through this? And I wonder as well. The last few weeks in walking with Kevin and Carla, some in their pain, I can't say why these things happen. I don't know why they happen. It's one of our worst nightmares as parents to think of our children being hurt in some way. And I don't know why this had to happen. But what I do know is that there is light shining out of the darkness. I see it in Kevin and Carla and their family. And it's a light that is impacting thousands of people, literally. And I'm so proud of them when I see that light shining out. Our testimony is not that God gives us a life of luxury, but that in the midst of chaos and confusion, of evil and despair, that we can have hope and joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we can experience freedom and forgiveness of sin. That we can experience peace and restoration. We have a hope both for now and the future that cannot be taken away by these temporary struggles, as Paul says. Our deliverer has come and made it possible for us to be children of God. And may we, as God's children, humbly and with great love, enter the brokenness of this world and bring the message of hope. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your great love that you have shown to us. None of us can really understand what it took for you to come into this broken world. You didn't have to do that. But in your great love, you came to us to redeem us from the situation that we find ourselves in. And I pray that as each of us enter this Christmas season, that we might have a deep appreciation for that love that was shown to us. As we look at how you came, that we might have a great understanding of all the things that you experienced because of your love for us. And that as we look at the world around us, that we might understand our calling to be your presence in a broken world, to be the one to bring comfort and encouragement, to be the one to stand alongside someone else, to be the one to bring the hope, the truth, the message of redemption. Father, may we accept our calling. Lord, I ask that as we go from this place today, that you would open our eyes to those people in our lives who need a touch from you. And may we be that person that's willing to step out and represent you to them, represent your love to them. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.